Recording in progress.
Well, it's again good to see you today. We've been talking about, or actually we've started a new series called the Why Series, and we're on the topic of why church, because a lot of people are having a difficult time figuring out what the reason for church is. And so I'm kind of trying to help you understand that. We found out last week that the church is the foundation and the pillar of truth. You remember that parable that Jesus talked about regarding the wise man built his house on the rock. Storms came, winds blew, and the house stood firm. And then he talks about a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the storms came and the winds blew, the house fell down. There's a song that goes along with that. I used to know it as a child. I don't know if I could sing it now, but I do remember there was a song, or there is a song, regarding that. The church is the foundation and the pillar of truth. Now, there's no other entity in all of creation that has been given the responsibility to support truth other than church. No other entity, no government, system whatsoever has been given the responsibility of truth except the church. And if we don't hold on to the truth, if we don't speak truth, then the truth is not going to be revealed, and it will not be heard by those who need the truth. And this is a mandate from God Almighty. It's not my idea. It's His idea. And so that's why it's so imperative that each one of us know and understand God's Word. Because you, as the body of Christ, are part of the church as a whole. And so it's very important that we hold on to the truth. We don't want to be led astray as the Pharisees led those astray. And Jesus said, regarding the Pharisees, you have made them twofold a child of hell. Every convert that you bring into your religious system, you've made a twofold child of hell. And I'm thinking, man, what is that? Well, number one, they have taught them that you can somehow get to heaven just by being good, just by being good enough. And not only that, when you do that, you also teach them to reject Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They're twofold a child of hell. It's a whole lot easier to win somebody to Christ who hasn't already embraced the lies of some religious group. Okay? And so the Pharisees said, you have made them, or Jesus said about the Pharisees, you've made them twofold a child of hell. I want us to look at the passage we looked at last week in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It says, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct themselves in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Jake, would you pray for me as I begin this morning, please?
Thank you for that, Lord. We ask you now.
Amen. Thank you, Jake. You may be seated. I want you to be aware that God's truth is good for every generation and every people group. Every generation and every people group. Look, listen to this passage in Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Then Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. So the Word of God is an everlasting covenant. Say everlasting.
Everlasting.
Say never ends. Say forever.
Forever.
Say all people groups.
All.
His mercy endures forever. His truth endures forever. Every generation.
Amen.
Say my generation.
My generation.
Did you know it's good for the millennials as well as Generation Z? And every generation that comes behind, because God's Word lasts forever. It does not go out of style. It's not something that's just for a bygone era. It is for today. It is for us. And it brings life. And it brings light. And so that is why it's so important that the church uphold the truth, because there are many who would like to snuff the truth. There's always been those who want to oppress the Word of God, who want to remove it. I don't know if you're aware of it, but in North Korea, if a person in North Korea is caught with even a portion of the Scripture, it's a death sentence. It's either they're going to be killed or they're going to be imprisoned for life along with their families. And so that is why it's so important that we hold on to the truth, because we have the ability, we have the, at this time in our history in the United States, we have the ability to have the Word of God, and that's why it's important that we read it and understand it and put it into practice. It's happening all over the world. Even in this country, the truth is trying to be shut down. And the truth is not wanting to be heard by many. There's a new vocabulary that's being promoted today. And when my children were growing up, good became bad. Like somebody did a stunt on their bicycle. Whoa, that's bad. When in reality, it's good. So the vocabulary is being changed so that we don't really understand what's going on. What I'm about to share with you is only political in a sense that the politicians have made morality part of the political system. Okay? And so I'm not trying to be political, but I'm trying to be scriptural and truthful. And so I'm going to be speaking about moral issues. And I'm going to be mentioning these things for two reasons. We need to be aware of the climate that's around us, and we need not to fall into the lies that the culture tries to propagate upon us, and we need to be aware that the platforms are out there whose sole agenda is to remove truth from our vocabulary and from our minds. So you may not like what I'm about to share, but that's okay. The term Black Lives Matter became popular a couple of years ago. And in its infant form, it seemed to be something that was good. And it became more than just a slogan on a cardboard sign to signify that a certain group of people had value. But about 6 months into it, we discovered that it was a movement to begin to that was given the right to trash property, to destroy buildings, to destroy establishments. Now, here's the truth. The truth is black lives do matter. Amen. That's the truth. The truth is Hispanic lives matter. The truth is Chinese lives matter. Asian lives matter, and the truth is white lives matter too. All lives matter. All lives matter to God because God gave us life. And He has a purpose for every single individual. I don't know if you've heard of the deconstruction movement or not. Some people think that deconstruction is just another name for reformation or revival. Here's the deal with the deconstruction movement. They're trying to, not only does the deconstruction movement remove good, but it also removes bad, which basically means the lines get blurred and you don't, and people don't under, so you just kind of make up your own rules and do your own thing, and if it's good for you, then it's good. And if it's bad for you, it's bad. But you can't tell anybody else that what they're doing is bad or good because that's their own ideas. And so in order, if we talk about truth, then that's contrary to the Reconstruction movement, or deconstruction movement. So the deconstruction movement gives license not only to question the foundations of Christian teaching, but to resist it. To interpret biblical morals as one sees fit, to deconstruct the truths that we find in God's Word, so that homosexuality, transgenderism, LGBTQ, etc. is embraced, and according to the deconstructionists, this is okay with God. Any path to heaven is seen as good as long as it isn't Christ alone. And even atheism is a good place to wind up if you want to go that direction, according to the deconstructionists. So some people have bought that lie, hook, line, and sinker. Now here's what I want you to understand. I acknowledge that God has given every person the right to make a decision. It's their choice what they decide. They can either decide for Him or they can decide against Him. He has created us in such a way that we have freedom of choice. Okay? So I can't impose upon you my freedom of choice. You can't impose upon me your freedom of choice. I am free to do what I feel like is best for me, and I choose to do what God says in His Word. Okay? And I choose to believe what He says. So to say that God is pleased with whatever decisions we make is totally contrary to what God says, and you can find that even in the first three chapters of the Bible. A vast majority of deconstructionists have become what is called a progressive Christian, who now embraces same-sex marriage, same-sex relationships, abortion, and other behaviors. And they believe that it's not condemned in God's Word. I was visiting with a fella some time ago who goes to a different church, and he said that they had a substitute pastor come in, and it was a lesbian lady who came in and was pastoring for them during this time. And I said, does that not give you problems? He said, you know, we're all sinners. And so it's okay that it's that type sin, and it's okay. And I'm thinking, so 1 John says this, that if you continue the practice of sin, you don't know Christ. Okay? So I understand that all of us are sinners, and I understand that all of us struggle with one thing or another in our lives, but if it's if we continue to practice the same sin over and over and over, and it doesn't affect us, and we don't have problems with that, and it doesn't do something in our heart that causes us to want to weep to the Lord and cry out to Him and ask for forgiveness, then I would say that probably the Holy Spirit is not in you and that you're not a child of God. That's one of the reasons, a Friends Church had a split a couple of years ago. Because there was a group of individuals who wanted to stay true to the Word of God and some who wanted to go on a different path. So they decided, you know what, we're going to have to go our separate ways. That's one of the reasons the United Methodist Church is having such difficulties right now. It's because there are people in the United Methodist Church who want to stand true to the Word of God and others who want to go a different path. And so there's going to be, and has already been, a split in the United Methodist Church from the world organizations, but here in the United States, there's going to be another one as well. Because there are those who want to be true to the Word of God. And let me just say this, the truth is not necessarily what you want it to be or what you deem it to be. The truth can only be found in God's Word. That's the only place. A so-called church who no longer teaches the Word of God as truth is not a Christian church. It may be an assembly of like-minded people pretending to be a church, but they're not a church according to Jesus' definition. They may sing songs of praise. They may have worship songs. They may have fellowship with one another. They even may have a prayer time together. They may look like a church on the outside. But if they don't hold to the truths of God's Word, they're not a Christian church. And you may say, Pastor, there's no such thing as absolute truth. And I would ask you, is that absolutely true? So why is truth so important? The first thing is the truth sets you free. The truth sets you free. So there's no freedom without truth. So here's the deal. Before we met Christ, we were enslaved to sin. We were enslaved to Satan. And we had a death sentence upon our life. But when we met Christ, just Scripture says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When we met Jesus, we escaped the penalty of sin. We are overcoming the power of sin. And we are we're headed in a direction to heaven. But have you noticed that sometimes, even after you know you've come to know Christ, that you're still bound in some ways? It would be wonderful if once you come to know Christ, all of that stuff would just be taken off and that you would be a mature Christian. I would be a mature Christian from the moment I received Christ, but that's not the way it is because there are still things that hold us back, and those things that hold us back, if the truth sets us free, what do you think keeps us in bondage? It's the lies. It's the lies. John 8:32 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So it would be an unusual person indeed who did not have false ideas about themselves, false beliefs, and they didn't carry lies into this new creation, this new life that Jesus has given us. Scripture says that the truth will set you free. I was speaking with a lady some years back. She was probably in her early 20s. And my wife and I were here, and she came into the office. And she said, "I've never been to a church before. I was just wanted to check it out and see what it's about." And I welcomed her. We sat and visited, and I shared Christ with her. And I told her, this is what church is about. And so I shared Christ with her, And I, after I had shared, I said, would you be willing to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? He said, yes, I would like to do that. So we prayed. And I have a gift of discernment. And whenever she prayed, so when somebody connects, I feel it. Okay? And when she prayed, I knew she didn't connect. And I'm like, tell me a little bit more about your home life. Why haven't you been to church? And she said, well, my dad said religion was for sissies. And so I've never been to church because I just, you know, that's not something my dad would encourage. And so never been. I said, would you be willing to renounce the lie that religion is for sissies? And she said, yes, I would. So I prayed. We forgave her mom, or forgave her dad for promoting that lie in her life and projecting that lie in her life. She asked the Lord to forgive her for believing the lie. And then I said, well, let's pray again. And so I led her in a prayer to receive Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. And that time, there was a transformation in her heart. She felt a peace that she had never felt. It was a funny thing because she was sitting in one of the chairs in my office, and she says, there's so much peace here, I don't want to get out of this chair. It had nothing to do with the chair, but it had to do with renouncing the lies. And I would just say this, if you've believed lies regarding Jesus Christ or regarding salvation, maybe you've believed the lies, maybe you are twofold a child of hell, just like some of these converts were. You've believed other things rather than Jesus Christ. You believed that perhaps you can make your own way to heaven rather than repenting of your sins and turning to Jesus. If that's the case, ask the Lord to forgive you for believing the lie. Get it out of your heart so that you can receive truth. I don't think it's possible to receive truth until you get rid of the lie. Now, we can receive the truth in our head, but if we've got a lie in our heart, it's never going to get in our heart until we remove the lie that's in our heart. Okay? And you need to carry that home with you. Because some of you are trying to live the Christian life because you know the truth in your head, but it's never sunk in your heart. And it's very possible that you are believing some lies that you need to ask the Lord to forgive you for and get out of your life. I'm going to share an embarrassing story with you. Some years ago, we were having prayer service. And I'm one of those guys that like to be on task. And as we were having prayer service, it was time to start prayer, and there was this one particular lady who just kept talking. And I'm like, I couldn't interrupt, because she just kept talking. And the more she talked, the more angry I became. And so I spoke to her in a way that really hurt her. So on my way home, and I was, it was a wonderful prayer service. I was still angry the whole time, okay? And so on my way home, I was still angry. And she called me and said, Pastor, you talk to me just like my ex-husband used to talk to me. And I'm like, and here's the weird thing. I knew I needed to ask her to forgive me, but I was still mad. Okay. I know you've never been there. So I asked, so, you know, because I was supposed to, I said, would you please forgive me? She said, yes. I was still mad. So I got home. And I knew, so I've learned that when those kind of things bother me, or something like, if I'm acting in an ungodly way, that usually there's possibly a lie in my heart that I've received. So I got home and I'm talking to the Lord about it, even in my mad state. And I'm saying, Lord, what's going on here? And then I remember, so I grew up in a home with six boys, and a girl. And one of the things that Dad would, he thought he would keep the six boys out of trouble by just keeping us busy all the time. Okay, so he would plant, so in the South we have these gardens that are like quarter mile long. Butter beans, peas, corn, you name it. And so we'd get up sometimes before daylight and have to sit at the pea row before daylight, waiting for daylight in order to go pick peas and da-da. Then as we're going, Dad would say things, if you can't work and talk, then stop talking. Okay? Well, that kind of all came back. And here was the lie that was projected upon me. It wasn't Dad's lie. But the lie was, work is more important than relationships. And do you know what? That was a hard, because work was, to me, I mean, like work is the deal. Okay? It is the deal. And even praying to release that was like, I don't even agree with that. But finally, I was able to pray that prayer and ask the Lord to forgive me for believing the lie that work was more important than relationships. Now, I want to tell you, work is important. There's a lot of people who don't know how to work. There's a lot of people who won't work. Work is important. And when you're at your job, you need to work. Okay? You need to put in a full day's work for a full day's pay. I believe that with all my heart. And you'll find that in Scripture too. If you're going to get paid for something, you need to do your work. All right. However, relationships are more important than work. Scripture says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second one is like unto it. Love work. No. Oh. Love your neighbor as yourself. So, you know, looking back, I remember us having work days here at the church, and guys are goofing off and just enjoying one another in fellowship. And man, I'd be in the corner just stewing. Because work is more important than relationship. Isn't that crazy? I mean, you get these lies in your heart, and it affects you so that you're not able to walk in a godly manner, even as pastor. And so when you discover those things, I'm just going to encourage you, go to the Lord, ask His forgiveness, get that out of your heart so that you can walk in godliness, walk in righteousness. Anytime that you find yourself acting in an ungodly way, it's very possible that you're living a lie or you believe a lie in your heart. Okay? Because the things that you believe will affect your actions. Right? So anytime you believe something that doesn't line up with God's word, then you need to ask for forgiveness and ask Him to remove that from you. I grew up in a denomination who really didn't practice healing, didn't practice a lot of the things that Scripture talk about. And so I had to ask the Lord, because then anytime we would have that, it'd make me very uncomfortable. Okay? So I'd have to ask the Lord to forgive me for not believing His word and believing tradition over His word. So we can be affected in a lot of different ways by the things we believe. And if it's not the truth, if it doesn't line up with God's word, then somebody's wrong. And it's probably not God. Okay? So we just need to take God's word for what it says, whether our mind or our heart agrees with it. We just need to say, God, your word brings life. Lord, your word brings light. Lord, your word brings everything I need. Keep planting the seed of your word, of His word in your heart. Keep on, keeping on, keep on, keeping on. Allow the Word of God to be effective in your life. Now, there's a whole lot more things I could share with you regarding myself, but I'm not going to do that at this time. So here's some common lies that people believe. Well, I'm going to tell you one more. If I keep people at arm's length, I won't get hurt. I remember I was in my office one day, and I was praying. I said, Lord, I feel like you're keeping me at arm's length. I can't get close to you. I wasn't expecting an answer. This is what he said. Brad, the distance you keep people away from you is the distance I'll keep you away from me. It's like, boy, I've got to do some changing. I grew up in a great home, but all of us, no matter how great your home is, there's going to be wounds that you carry from that. And so I had to dress some wounds, some heart wounds, so that I could be open, so I could be transparent, so that I could be approachable. And so that I could approach others. God loves you. God loves you with all of his heart. But he can't get close to you if you're carrying those things in your heart. The lie is, if I keep people at a distance, I'll be okay. But you know that's a lie. Because it's never okay. God wants to be approachable. He wants you to be approachable. I've got a lot more I could say, but I'm going to save it till next week. Okay? Here's what I want you. Please do this. Would you just bow your head? Close your eyes. How many of you would say, and you can just raise your hand and put it right back down, that you have this false belief that I have little worth? Anyone here? Okay, thank you. How about I'm not as valuable as other people? Okay. Or maybe this, others aren't as important as I am. Okay, thank you. How about this? I'll never measure up no matter how hard I try. Okay, thank you. All right, you can look up. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Basically, what this is saying is, if you compare yourself to other people, you're not being wise. You know, a lot of times, and here's the reason. If we compare ourselves to other people, we're either going to think we're better than them, or we're going to think we're less than them. Okay? Some of you who raised your hand, I know some of the background you grew up in. And some projected lives came upon you by your parents, that you are not worth anything, that you'll never measure up, that you'll never accomplish anything. But I would suggest to you that you forgive your dad or your mom for projecting that upon you, and then ask God to remove those lies from your heart so that you can receive the truth. In your head, you know, but in your heart, that's the driving force. So you need to know in your heart how God feels about you. All of us grew up with the lies that keep us from progressing in our walk with the Lord. Every single one of us. We need to ask the Lord to reveal those to us. Because that's going to hinder you from going forward in your relationship with the Lord. Can I pray for you? Father, I come before you and just want to thank you for today. I thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, I thank you that I'm not in the bondage I once in. Lord, you're setting me free, and you have set me free. And Lord, I pray for freedom for every single individual that's here today. Lord, there may be some here today who don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, and they've been putting their faith in their good works. Lord, you're the only one who can bring salvation. And God, I remember being there. I remember trying hard, but there was this void in my heart. I was trying hard, but there was no assurance of my relationship with you, nor assurance of going to heaven. And Lord, I pray that today, if there's anyone here that fits that mold, that, Lord, they would walk out of that and be able to truly trust Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today who need to get these lies out of their heart, Lord, that they would do that. They would take time with you. They would set apart this... get away, just whatever it takes to address these issues. And Lord, if we need to set up a counseling time, I'm willing to do that. But God, I want you to be glorified in each life here. Lord, have your will in your way, in my life, and in the life of this church. In Jesus' holy name, amen.